brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's corner, Giroud!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome everybody.
Welcome
to another exciting installment of the VAR show. With your host that does the most.
Yeah.
The one that's good at making toast.
Mm-hmm.
The one, the only, DJ Stones.
And with him is the host who eats steak.
With toast.
The host who produces fire.
Like Zuko.
The host who is not a liar.
Like Usopp, for those who watch one. I couldn't think of something that rhymes, I'm sorry.
And, you know, I'm going to just cut it there because I have nothing else to rhyme with. You know? But it's okay.
The one who came here and he was hired.
Ooh, damn. Okay, thank you.
That's fire.
I am DJ Sticks.
My album is coming out.
Okay.
So, and boy, do we have a good show for you today.
Do we have a good show? We do a fire show,
you know?
We do. Show with lots of stories.
With a lot of stories. And the biggest one, I have to start off with it, you know?
Okay.
Like, I watch a lot of
Straight
reels.
Straight into the gate.
You know, and like, you know, when a good moment is happening, they have that song. Na, 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 praise the Lord. And I had one of those moments this week where I opened Fabrizio and I saw...
I know where this is going.
Onana is gone. Thank you, Lord.
For now.
For now, though. Yeah. No, but he's basically gone. Like, I don't think...
Do you think so?
I don't see him coming back from loan just to...
Because he's definitely... Like, he is coming back.
Yeah, but
there's
I don't
no
see...
mandatory purchase or nothing.
Yeah, no, I get that. But I don't see him coming back so that he can, you know...
Play again.
Like, I don't see him playing for Man United again. It's like, who else is on loan? I think Sancho's on loan.
Jadon Sancho.
I think they
Was it confirmed?
Him. I think they either bought him or they loaned him, but I know he's gone.
No, definitely not buy.
So, he's on loan.
To Roma, right?
No, to Villa.
Oh, snap! I forgot about them. Will he play, though?
Yeah, definitely.
There's no way he's gonna play.
Nah, definitely.
You know Emery.
Yeah, he's gonna play under Emery.
Okay.
Like if they gave Rashford a chance, you know, he will play.
I don't know if it's the same.
I'm not saying he's on the same level as Rashford.
Rashford is back in the England team.
Like Rashford is top tier compared to Sancho.
Yes.
And like, you know, Sancho even had a whole speech, and you know, between him and Anthony, I really think that Man United is like a prison, you know? It's a prison.
I do remember Anthony's statement, you know, it was a tough time for me and my family in Manchester. Lots of tears, you know, and I'm looking forward to this new journey. I'm back. Things like that.
Yeah.
That's along those veins. But
who am I to judge? You know, he is the GOAT at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, he's the GOAT. I mean, Onana, right? Incredible player.
Yeah.
You know, also gone out. And I saw something that made it more clear as to... Because I was asking questions. My question was, why would Onana consider leaving? You know, because he doesn't have to say yes. He can just stay there, not play, and earn good money, you know? That was my thought. But then I found out that as part of the deal, him going to... Trabzonspor, right?
Yeah.
He's going to receive a higher salary.
Of course.
As part of the deal.
Here comes the money.
Money.
You know, Anthony even commented that Spain is more beautiful than Manchester.
I think just to throw in some extra, you know, salt.
So I know we digressed. I just, that point was in my heart and I needed to really take it out.
I feel like you remembered.
Well, technically it is, because it is probably warmer. But not Manchester United. Wherever Manchester United is, that place is the best.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm with you.
It's probably also a money thing.
Seville doesn't look nicer than Manchester.
Yeah. But you know, in both of this, you know, like there's a lot of negatives to look at when it comes to this transfer window.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
The cash. Money spent and money received.
But I think I saw a lot of improvements in terms of how United does things, you know. A lot of times, and people could be upset at how long it took us to offload players and stuff. But, you know, a lot of times we let players go for less, way less than we actually should.
Mm.
And we make close to peanuts. Or we never let them go and they just leave on a free.
Mm.
And it's not, you know, a lot of people, they don't give Sir Jim and the current people that are running stuff, you know, the flowers. I look at the Anthony deal and they stood their ground. You know, I feel like old United, we would have sold Anthony for like 10 more.
Mm.
You know, they stood their ground with Giannacho, stood their ground. This is what we want. This is what we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means am I saying that they're the United is the best run club right now. I do think that certain deals could have happened faster.
Yeah.
I do believe that we missed on opportunities to get like midfielders. But at the end of the day, people need to understand that probably a lot of these deals didn't go through not because of the club, but because of the players. The players were a problem. Like Sancho got offered so many clubs and he refused.
Mm-hmm.
Just and like if he had gone to like Roma or Saudi or maybe one of these other clubs that wanted him, you know, that could have been money we could have brought in.
Saudi would have been nice
to get a midfielder.
Yeah.
So, I do think that it's quite good though that it's a much better transfer window for United.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. We're doing well. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Speaking of some other transfer news, right? So this obviously, these are moves that happened while there was a lot of hype around, you know, the international break and the qualifiers, which we're going to get into in a moment. But these are some undercover deals that happened while you were focusing on the international break. So big names landed in Sevilla yesterday, right? So Alexis Sanchez and Cesar Azpilicueta were presented as official Sevilla players after joining the club in the final days of the window. So
yeah.
Alexis Sanchez and Azpilicueta, Sevilla, they were presented. Here we go. I think it's a good move for both parties, including the club.
So there was a Romanian player, I forgot his name now, but it was a very interesting story. What happened was that this defender, very young defender.
Okay.
So he was from the Benfica, I believe, Benfica Academy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was from the Benfica Academy. And he was sold to a team in Romania. And there was a 50% sell-on clause on him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now the best Romanian team right now, you know, I think it's FBC, something like that. I'm just pulling up their league now.
All right, FBC. Just confirming the...
So basically, they're not having a great start to their season, right? Mm. So it's called the Superliga.
Yes.
Right? And currently, they are sitting on 13th in the league.
This particular club?
Yes.
Damn.
So they're currently sitting 13th, and they're one of the best like teams, you know? And they wanted to get one of the teams that are doing very well this season that normally doesn't do well, they wanted to get their player, defender, their key defender.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But now, so what happens is that they go to the team and they speak to the team and they say, yo, give us your player.
What's
like,
up?
You know, what's up? Like, how much you want?
Yeah.
And the guy says, I bet 2 mil. The guy's like, nah. Like, we're not going to buy him for 2 mil. This is how much he's valued. Like, you know, between 800 to like a mil. We're willing to give a mil. Now, the reason why they wanted a high price is because if they gave them for 1 million, they're only going to take about like 500K.
Mm-hmm.
If they give him for 800, they're only taking 400K.
Mm.
And the other 400K has to go...
To the player?
No, to Benfica.
Oh, to Benfica. Yeah. Oh, there's a sell-on clause. Oh, wow.
Right? So, in Romanian fashion, the club with the player went back to this FCSB and told them, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to buy the player for, I think it was at 400,000.
Damn.
Right?
Okay.
And then you're going to buy a second player from us for 800,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So basically, Benfica would have only gotten 200K because they technically bought the player for 200K.
Damn.
And they're going to overpay for a second player, meaning that the entire 800 would have gone to this club. I'm trying to find the club's name. I've forgotten the club.
Oh, wow.
But it's crazy.
So what? Now, was that like a teamwork thing to screw Benfica?
In a way, yes, but it was more so that the other team could, you know, get all the money that they wanted for the youngster.
Oh,
but
wow.
Then it ended up breaking down because the one club was taking too long, and then they were complaining about it. So the other club came out and basically spilled the whole beans.
Oh, snap! Oh, snap!
They would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for these meddling CEOs, I guess.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah.
Wow. Genius.
But on straight on the what happened this week, because, you know, we can't speak about international break without giving the international a break. Made no sense, but it sounded like serious bars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We had the World Cup qualifiers.
Yes. Yes.
But not only did we have the World Cup qualifiers, we had one of the saddest moments in football history. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, whether you CR7,
yes.
an NJ10, you know, Neymar Jr. NJ10,
10. Yes, yeah. KM10.
9, I guess, because it's 9 now.
No, it's 10 now.
Oh, it's 10. Yeah, it's 10 again. It's 10 again.
It's 10
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Both sides.
Lionel Messi has just played his last home international game.
Crazy stuff
indeed. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if you are like a Messi fan or if you despise Messi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you stand. Yeah. But one thing I do understand, boss, like I'm on fire today, is that this is a sad moment in football. You know, like...
No, it is.
It is. It's truly a sad moment in football. We all... We're coming to a stage where we realize that one of the greatest players of all time, somebody we've enjoyed watching, is getting towards the end of their playing career, you know? And obviously, not talking about Ronaldo. He looks like he still has another 10 years in him, you know? Don't know how.
It actually doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make
sense. I was watching the Portugal game yesterday. He only came off like 80-something. And like, he wasn't even tired.
It doesn't make
sense.
I'm like,
what is wrong with this dude, man? But yeah.
At this point, he's doing it for the passion.
At this point, he really is. And he's... It sounds like he's playing, slowing down. Like, he's, you know, trying to save energy. Like, he's full on pressing. He's making runs. He's... Yeah, it looks like he's still 28.
He's a wonder kid, an upcoming player.
Damn.
You know, this upcoming player, Cristiano Ronaldo, DeSantos, you know?
If the kid aren't playing well, you might be... Considered as one of the best one day.
You know?
Yeah, but yeah, it is a sad moment.
It is, you know, like, and I was watching somebody talk about it, and they were like, you know, one thing about Messi is you really get moments of Messi being emotional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're looking at the warm-up, and he's looking around, and you can already see he's holding tears. You know?
Oh, my goodness me. The worst part is like when you see the player getting emotional, because that means that they know too.
Yeah, and then he spoke about it at the end of the game that, you know, this is the last time he's going to play here and et cetera, et cetera.
Crazy.
And, you know, he spoke about the fact that, you know, how they adored him in Barca. It was his goal to, like, you know, just to be adored like that at home. Mm. And he got that. And it's beautiful. It's
in
beautiful to see. And, you know, like, as we... It's kind of surreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up and watching the likes of, you know, your Zlatans, watching the likes of Ronaldo, Messi, even Neymar, and you seeing these giants in their career.
Like it's ending.
Like it's ending.
It's legit.
Like, you know, I always wondered, like, you know, when you speak to people who are, like, much older and they were alive in the times of Maradona, Pele, Luis Figo, and stuff like that, it's really hard sometimes to tell, like, to be like, no, Ronaldo is better, you know? And I'm starting to understand, because now people are probably going, youngsters are going to come to me and try and tell me how better Yamin Lamar is than Cristiano Ronaldo. And I'm getting ready to suplex them.
There's already vids of Lamin versus Neymar.
You know, like, I already went 2-3 years Dagestan. I'm elite wrestler right now. Like, let somebody compare that child to the king, to the prince.
The prince who became king, finally.
You know?
My goodness me. Yeah, but it's quite sad. But obviously, as he always does in Messi fashion, he made sure that he paid back the his dues, and he scored a brace in that match. Yeah, heavily assisted by Alvarez, and another guy. But yeah, even in the game, there was still some Messi magic. So the goats are still goating.
Yeah,
the goats are still goating.
And I'm really keen to see how he plays this season. You know, especially that he has Rodrigo de Paul. You know, now he has a security guard off the pitch and a security guard on the pitch.
Amen.
And already this season, you know, we've been seeing a very violent side of him, you know.
I'm telling you, even when they were this game, when they were coming out of their locker rooms for the second half.
Yeah.
So in the first half, the captain for the opposing team, like, gave him like a rough tackle.
Yeah.
So as they're coming out of their dressing rooms, he immediately goes straight to that captain. Then you see the whole of like the Argentine squad also go there. And then it's like, I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? This man in his last years.
the true him is coming out, and I love it.
He wants the smoke.
You know,
man.
Football at the end of the day is a sport of the heart. If you can't play football, you can't do football and not have emotion, you know?
No.
You know, it's impossible, and I love seeing it, you know. But we also had other World Cup qualifiers that happened, you know.
We had plenty World Cup qualifiers.
And I just want to start closer to home right now, you know, with the CAF qualifiers happening.
Yes.
And boy, oh boy.
Yes.
So for those who don't know, right?
Let them know.
I see myself as belonging to two nationalities.
Okay. Dual.
Right?
Yeah. Dual citizen.
And one is my home, where I stay, where I was born, where I grew up, you know, South Africa.
Yes.
And the other is where my parents were born and where they grew up, and that's Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday,
DRC.
Congo played Senegal, and South Africa was playing Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And had Congo won, they would have qualified.
Had they won?
Yeah.
I thought they were already qualified.
No, they would have qualified.
Oh, damn.
Right?
Damn.
Had South Africa won, they would have, one step closer to qualifying. They would have to win and draw, then they qualify. Because going into the last game, there's not enough points for the second place team to win. Or they could have won and then hope Benin, like, draws or loses, which they didn't do.
Yes.
So it's still... mathematically speaking, there's still a chance for Benin to qualify. Right? But in the way you've heard us speak, so Congo ended up losing 3-2 to Senegal.
After going ahead. After taking the lead, man. It was tough.
And I was so happy because I got to see players like Wan-Bissaka playing for DRC. Wissa,
bro.
Playing for DRC. Then I looked at the other side and I realized we lost to a team where the striker is Nicholas Jackson.
Oh, snap. make the situation better. He was next to Sadio Mane.
Who went off.
You know, he was next to Sadio Mane. And, you know, the defense is Khalidou Koulibaly, you know, Edouard Mendy. Come on, this is a strong side. This is a very, very strong side. Idrissa Gueye, you know, it's a strong Senegalese team.
Now, because of that, it's not over. You know, they can still qualify. So Senegal has to lose on one of their next two games. Congo has to win both coming games.
Mm.
And then if not, they are currently one of the high-ranked second-place teams. So how the qualifiers work is, especially for CAF, is the top of every group will qualify.
Automatically. Yes.
So I believe that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 groups. About 9 groups. Right? That's so right. Then the best second place teams are going to go to a World Cup playoff tournament.
Oh, snap.
Remember we used to have the Confederations Cup?
Yeah.
That used to happen the year before
the World Cup. Yes.
Before the World Cup.
Yes.
I think this one is happening a bit earlier than just the year because it's already the year before the World Cup. The World Cup's next year.
We are.
Right? Crazy. So what's going to happen is that they're going to go into this playoff and they're gonna be playing other teams from around the world that also make it to the playoff.
Makes sense.
So it there's still a chance. But the people who are one step closer, even after pulling a draw, is South Africa.
Which sounds unbelievable.
It does. I remember speaking about this when the CAF,
the AFCON.
AFCON.
Yes.
Ah, my word, there's so many CAF, CAFCON. COSAFA. I remember when it happened and, South Africa made it, I believe, to what was it, the semifinals?
Yes.
And after that, we spoke about, now it's time to look forward to the World Cup qualifiers. And we were pretty confident about how we would do in the qualifiers. And I must say,
We have done well.
You know, 8 games, 5 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss.
Only one loss. Insane.
Now, if we beat Zimbabwe in October, right, who've not had a good form.
Yeah, they've, yeah.
Then we are basically in.
Into the World Cup.
For the first time, qualifying.
I will buy a t-shirt.
And if the Lord provides, I will buy some tickets.
To the World Cup.
Lord, you know my heart.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Receive. So it is a pretty close one.
Yeah.
But how the going into the last two match days, right, the people who are currently leading the table is currently Egypt for Group A, Senegal for Group B, South Africa for Group C, Cape Verde. So Cape Verde was playing Cameroon.
And there was a plunder.
Yeah. Like the player took the ball from the midfield and ran straight to the pole. Like Onana didn't come out. And then he got chipped in his line.
He got chipped in the 6-yard area.
Yeah, as in he was on the line. And he got chipped. He went down and then they took it over him.
Yeah.
And thanks to that, now Cape Verde is currently leading the group with 19 points.
19 points? Damn.
They need to lose their next two games, or they need to draw and lose their next two games in order for Cameroon to qualify directly.
I think Cape Verde is in.
Cape Verde making it to a World Cup will be wild.
It's like
over Cameroon.
Cape Verde making it to the World Cup before GTA 6.
You know? South Africa making it to World Cup before GTA 6.
Crazy.
Over Nigeria.
That's mad.
That is mad. Like, you go to me 2006 and you tell me these two facts. I'll ask you, who the hell are you?
Are you okay?
And then I would
sick?
Say...
South Africa.
You're lying.
No. It's actually crazy. And what was also nice to see was the amount of... Because, when you, watch a Senegal game or Nigeria game, even now DRC... Multiple players are in different leagues playing abroad. Also in the South African squad, you also had players who are playing abroad. Players like Foster, who plays for Burnley.
Yeah.
And Ngezana, who plays in the US. So there is development happening in the South African
Association. Yeah. Even on that, there's a player, his name is Tyler Smith.
Yes.
He got signed by QPR. And he was a defender at Stellenbosch.
Crazy.
He played in the under 20.
Crazy.
The under 20.
I might know him.
CAF.
Mm.
For with the, you know, the team that won the 20 CAF, Amajitas.
Oh, wow.
So he was the defender there.
Wow. I might know this dude.
So even young talent in South Africa is actually looking good. Looking very, yeah, very good. And just to, before we wrap up, just closing off, then we'll go look at the other ones as well quick. Yes. So you have Morocco, who's leading Group E. Mm-hmm. And it looks like, they've qualified because they're 21 points and their closest competitors at 10.
Hakimi in the World Cup. Here we go.
Ivory Coast, who shockingly hasn't qualified, right? But they're leading with 20 points and their closest second, Gabon, at 19, right?
But at least
they're still in the lead. Mm. Algeria looks like they have qualified with 19 points and their closest competitor, which is Uganda, at 15.
Okay.
Tunisia at 22 points, who have definitely qualified with that, with their nearest neighbor, Namibia, at 15.
Mm.
Ghana qualifying, at least telling the other guys, this is how you do it.
Yes. Yes.
And that is with 19 points, and Madagascar with 16.
Yeah,
and then the best, so this is now the ranking of the best second place teams, right? So right now it's Gabon with 19 points, Madagascar with 16, and DRC with 16, Burkina Faso with 15, Cameroon with 15, Namibia with 15, Uganda with 15, Benin with 14, and Tunisia with 10. I believe the top three or the top four will go to the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Of the best second teams.
Yes. Looking at Europe's qualifiers, as they had an electrifying weekend, you know.
Oh, it's crazy.
Which was, yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy. And how they're looking is Group A, right? And this is shocking, but they probably have more games to play. Yeah, they have like about two games to play because it's four in a group, and they've played two.
Yeah.
But as it stands in Group A, Slovakia is leading with 6 points.
Let's go.
In a group with Germany.
Yes. You heard that right.
Switzerland is leading their group with a group with Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Denmark is with 4 points, is leading their group in a group with Scotland and Greece. France is leading their group with Ukraine and Iceland. And Azerbaijan. I just like saying that name.
What?
Azerbaijan.
Yes.
And then Group E, Spain is leading with 6 points in a group with Georgia and Turkey.
Makes sense.
Ooh, Gule versus Yamin.
Yes.
Portugal, obviously, is leading in their group with, I don't even feel like I should say the other people because none of them are better than Ronaldo.
Hungary is there, bro.
With Hungary and Ireland.
Yes.
Netherlands is leading with Poland and Finland in the group while they joint with Poland at 10-10.
Mm.
Bosnia, and I'm not going to try to say the other part of their name. Yeah. Is leading in a group with Austria, Romania, and the GOATs.
The GOATs.
Saint Marino.
Bro!
I hope they at least win a game here.
Please. Please. Football.
Norway is leading their group in a group with Italy and Israel.
Crazy.
North Macedonia is leading their group with Belgium and Wales inside.
Crazy! What are you saying?
England is leading their group with 15 points, 5 games played. Right, and they have Albania and Serbia in their group, and lastly Croatia is leading in theirs with 12 points,
yeah.
And they have Montenegro.
Lots of goals in this qualifiers.
Yeah,
I mean we've seen games 6-0 Belgium won, we've seen 5-4 Italy, 5-0 England, and yesterday we saw an insane. I didn't know that was the final score. I last left it 9-1. No way, 11-1. What?
Haaland pecking 5. That I'm not ready right. for him. Honestly, I'm not ready for him. I feel like it's not going to end well for United.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah.
My goodness me. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
But you know what will end well?
What will end well?
This episode.
Oh.
As we end well to prepare the next one.
Yes.
Because between now and the next one, either myself, DJ Sticks, or both of us will be depressed as we have. The Manchester Derby
coming up this weekend.
But till then, from me, the one, the only, DJ Stones.
And myself, DJ Sticks.
We are signing out.
Peace.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.